Party conference season begins in Britain. There are signs of disagreement about what further powers will be further devolved to Scotland and how and when. On the line from London, the political editor of the Financial Times, George Parker. Good morning and thanks for taking the call. Could you just remind us before we get into this, George, what potential powers were outlined, extra powers for the Scottish Parliament, were outlined in this cross-party vow or pledge that was given to the Scots before they voted?
Well, you're right. This vow was made on the front page of the Daily Record, Scotland's biggest selling newspaper, by the three main party leaders at Westminster. And they promised that they would devolve to Holyrood, the Scottish Parliament, new powers over tax and welfare, and those are the two main areas. No specifics, that's the important thing to bear in mind, because the three parties at Westminster haven't agreed exactly which powers should be passed on to Holyrood, but those are essentially the main ones, including the power to vary income tax. And in some cases, for example, the Conservatives are saying that Holyrood should have complete control over income tax and income tax rates.
Now, there are several layers to the complications that are beginning to appear. The first, I suppose, the most direct of direct concern to Mr Cameron is the problem in his own party. What's the problem?
Yeah, well, this is a Conservative and Unionist party committed to the union with Scotland, and there's a huge strand of thought in the Conservative Party that, you know, that this is leading down the path of the breakup of the United Kingdom. If you start giving the Scots power over, for example, income tax, then that's really pushing the country a further step along the road, possibly to independence at some future date. So they're very concerned about that, and has to be borne in mind also the Conservative Party only has one Westminster MP elected by Scottish voters, and it's predominantly an English party, so they're very nervous about that.
Is the bottom line that the linkage which Mr Cameron envisaged immediately after the referendum between more powers for Scotland and more powers for everyone else, and particularly the English, that's kind of beginning to look a bit flaky?
Well, it's certainly looking very difficult to deliver, because what David Cameron said, as he said on the doorstep of No. 10 Downing Street the morning of that vote in Scotland, was, we're going to pass these powers on to Scotland, but by the way, we're going to resolve this English question, the question of why English MPs shouldn't be allowed to have votes on their own laws when Scottish MPs can currently vote on those laws, even though they don't apply in Scotland. So it's the 100-year-old West Lothian question. It's the question which politicians and constitutional experts have been grappling with for 100 years or so, and David Cameron wants to try to resolve this in the next few months. One of the reasons he wants to do that, by the way, is that UKIP, despite its name of the UK party, is actually also predominantly an English party, and is also saying, hang on a sec, if we're giving these new powers to Scotland, what about the English? So David Cameron's trying to head off that particular danger as well.
Yeah, Nigel Farage, I see, asking the Scottish MPs to pledge not to vote on yeah. English questions, which is a fairly smart move, whatever you might think of the rights and wrongs of it. Now, what about Labour, who are they're starting their annual conference? Are they nervous? Are they going to be the target of an attack, or could they be offsided by where this is happening, or is it an advantage for a potential opportunity for them?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that David Cameron looked the one who was awkward. He looked like he'd sort of given away too much to the Scots, and had the Tory party on his back. Now Labour have got a problem, of course, which is that if David Cameron and indeed Nigel Farage and UKIP start making a big issue about the fact that the English are badly treated in this new constitutional settlement, then Ed Miliband has a problem, because if you weaken the right of Scottish MPs at Westminster to vote at Westminster, that's a massive problem for Labour. Labour have 40 MPs elected by Scottish voters, out of a total of about 250 at the moment. So there's a real danger that if Ed Miliband were to become Prime Minister under these plans, he could have a majority in Great Britain, but not a majority of English MPs. So there could be huge areas of legislation he wants to pass, for example, school reform in England, or health reform in England, or even changing the income tax in England, which he wouldn't be able to get through the Westminster Parliament, because half his Scottish, or his entire Scottish block of MPs wouldn't be allowed to vote. So that's a big problem for Labour.
Well, the pre-referendum pledge was certainly not specific, as you said, so it's certainly getting complicated now. But George Parker of the Financial Times in London, thank you very much.